Let's read from 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and break down the images, and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. Also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he have given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 24,000. All these were mighty men of valor. Our Father and our God, we pray you will settle our hearts this moment as we open up your word. We pray for your help during the course of this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Title of the message, Distinctive Marks of Consecration. Distinctive Marks of Consecration. 2 Chronicles 14, verses 3 and 4 is our textual reference. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and break down the images, and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. Now the book of 2 Chronicles is mainly concerned with the kings of Judah, the two tribes to the south that comprise of Judah and Benjamin. Chronicles records the ups and downs of Judah after the kingdoms were divided. There was a pattern of apostasy in Judah led by evil kings, and there were brief periods or pockets of reformation brought about by good kings. There were five periods of reformation by good kings that stay the wrath of God. Asa was the first of those kings, and anybody can tell me the last. Let me see how you know your Old Testament history. Josiah was the last good king. Each of these good kings displayed their humanness and did mischief late in their reign, every one of them. In the last 3 years of Asa's reign, he erred in seeking support from the king of Syria, the enemy of God's people. He went for support from him. It brought a rebuke by the man of God, the prophet, to him. And it shows that prophets are not supposed to be afraid of kings. Asa, having heard the rebuke from the prophet, retaliated by imprisoning him, a faithful priest. Later, he sought help from the physicians when he got sick and never inquired of God. The element of bitterness set into his heart. And you should mark these things because it happens here in our church as well. when people are spoken to, when they're reprimanded. That's what they do. They attack the church and the preacher. We read in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 12. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Now, in spite of these lapses in Asa's life and in his tenure, he is recorded as a good man, a good king. As good as we are, if God was to pick out our sins, they would be dirty. Or if he was to air our laundry, it would be very dirty. It shows man's imperfection. As much of good as they do, there is always sin known to God. Later, Asa appointed his son, Jehoshaphat, another good man, who reigned in co-regency with him. When Asa got sick in his feet, he did a wise thing. He put his son to reign in co-regency with him, and after his death, Jehoshaphat became king. Now we have chosen the topic, the distinguished marks of consecration, based on many of the good things that we see in the life of this man, Asa. Many people today, within the Christian community, will say that they are believers. They're quick to say that. It can become a barrier to evangelism. But the pastor is not a fool. He knows the fruit of true belief. He knows, and he should know his people. But many people cannot honestly say that their lives are consecrated. In fact, many are not ready to bear the pains of consecration. And that's why the church is so up and down. The word consecration is similar to the word sanctification. Every Christian is sanctified in a positional sense. They are made sanctified. They are brought into union with Christ. But every Christian in their personal experience is not sanctified and consecrated to Christ. I hope you're listening. Every professing Christian is not consecrated to Christ. Does not have a consecrated life. Now this can be very dangerous and should raise many questions in the life that is not a life of consecration. It should raise questions. And the questions that it should raise is, am I saved? Let me open some of the distinguished marks of consecration seen in Asa, beginning at verses 1 and 2. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet, 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. King Asa was the great-grandson of David, and was the third after Rehoboam. Here he is called a good king. He did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. We are told in another place that he followed in the steps of David, his father. Remember I told you, there were two patterns in Israel. One was Jeroboam, the next was David. There are two patterns in the church. One is Christ, the other is Satan. We should notice carefully that our goodness is in the sight of God and not in the sight of men. It is God that declares sinners to be righteous, and thus their works are seen in Christ to be good. But because we were declared righteous, some distinguished marks will be seen. In other words, if there are no distinguished marks of consecration in your life and in my life, I would have to look at the fair question, have I become converted? What are some of those marks of consecration? Well, there are many, but I can limit them to three. A, Asa renounced idolatry in Judah. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. Now, during the days of Solomon's son Rehoboam, Judah forsook the Lord. And at the end of his reign, if you turn back two pages, you would read in 2 Chronicles 12, 13 and 14. Now, this is a survey, and it calls you to open your Bible. 2 Chronicles 12, 13 and 14, we read, so King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. For Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Now, it is believed that Rehoboam's sins were the result of Solomon's polygamy, who married into the Ammonites that were descendants of an incest relationship between Lot and his daughter. Now, you know that. We should know all of these things if we're reading our Bibles. We should know them. Just don't read the Psalms and the New Testament. You have a pattern of reading through the Old Testament, reading through the New Testament. That's how you familiarize yourself with the Bible. If you go back to 1 Kings 11, you have to go back, verses 1 and 2, we read these words. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh. Brother Offney commented on this some weeks ago. Women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, Hittites, of the nations concerned in which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. God's word is always true. A man will reap what he sows. Here in Asa's reign, he removed those things that he inherited. He was so thorough in his consecration that even his mother was not spared because she too had an idol. And therefore, reformation is to be thorough. Just because you're my cousin or my sister or my whoever doesn't mean that you must not subject yourself to the teachings of Scripture. Many believe this was Asa's grandmother, and I'm inclined to believe it's correct, and not his actual mother, because it was customary back then to go as far back as your great-grandmother, and sometimes she is called your mother. As a matter of fact, the Scripture carries us all the way back to Sarah. Is Sarah or Rebecca, who is called the mother of us all in the New Testament because of her faith. But there's another distinguished mark in Asa's consecration. The first one we saw was he renounced idolatry in Judah. Second, he reestablished the law. They only had the Old Testament in those days. All they had was the five books of Moses in those days. Probably some of the writings. The temple was not broken down yet. There was no Ezra, Nehemiah, such books. So all they had was the five books of Moses. But it was still good enough to bring reformation. He reestablished the law. Verses 4 and 5. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord, God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandments. Also, he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. One of the hallmarks of consecration is what part the Word of God has in our lives. Little Bible understanding, little consecration to God. Reformation, I don't like to use this word a whole lot, reformation, but you know what I mean. All it means is correction, you know, or repentance. Reformation is twofold. One, a taking away of certain things, and two, a reestablishing of certain things. And you should know what are the things to be taken away and what are the things to be reestablished. If you don't know, well, I'm sorry for you. You'll never understand where this church is trying to go. The things that are not biblical should be set aside. And the things that are commanded in the Bible should be established. When we talk about stated meetings of the church, when we talk about who should take the communion, when we talk about who should be baptized, these are things that are biblical that should be established. Reformation is also personal and then ecclesiastical. Our church can only be as consecrated as those who are called to set examples. If the Word of God is not in our lives, don't expect the Word of God will come into the lives of our loved ones and our people. People often are like their pastors. And this can be good and it can be bad. I hope that in our case, that I would set a good example to you. Not a perfect man, don't have a perfect wife, but I hope that I am one setting an example to you, all of you here. And this should be true of our deacons. We should never say, well, that's the pastor. No, that's the believer. If the Word of God is not in our lives regularly, don't expect much. The third thing that marked Asa's consecration, I finally get there. The third thing that marked Asa's consecration was that he reinforced the boundaries of Judah. He reinforced the boundaries, 6 and 7. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, he said to Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. He had sense. He was not only satisfied with reestablishing, he built boundaries. And you know this, especially in Zimbabwe, you see these big, beautiful houses, but you don't ever see the house. Why is that? Often you probably saw that. Because the house has something around it called a Jura wall, right around with a big gate. Because the people sense the war, reinforce their properties. But Asa set up boundaries to keep out foreign invasion. It is all well and good to teach reformation, but we are to protect our parameters lest we be invaded by strangers. I can't stop people from coming into church by way of marriage and people becoming unequally yoked. But it has happened. It has happened. And it is torture when it happens. Because we are not able to protect our parameters. And therefore, when a young woman is seeking to get married, she should seek to protect the parameters of the church. Listen to these things carefully. We are to watch who is admitted into membership, who put their hands to the elements, lest we go backwards instead of forward. John says, Epistle of John, look to yourselves, that you lose not those things which we have worked or labored or wrought, but that we receive a full reward. It takes sweat and tears and blood to establish a biblical church, the truth. But truth can be lost in a moment. We must see these things. We must protect. We must reinforce our boundaries. We must strengthen the things that remain. So, brethren, we have seen some distinguished marks of consecration. I wish that I could just stop there and make the applications. But I must move on to another point in this life of this man. We see, secondly, his dependence on the Lord, verses 8 through 15. I wouldn't read that. Let me tell you something. The Old Testament is full of gospel truth. It takes time, but it is full of gospel truth and full of applications. I'll read part of this text for you from verse 8. And Asa had an army of men that bear targets and spears, out of Judah 300,000, of Benjamin, bear shields and drew bows, 200, 80,000. All these were mighty men of valor, and there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, with an host of 1,000 and 300 chariots, and came to Marasa. Now, I've shared with you that this man reinforced the boundaries. And here you see why. And here you see why the church must do it. Because there's a real enemy. Not with guns and bullets. I'm not talking about that kind of enemy. Verse 10. Then Asa went out against him. And they set the battle in array. The valley of Zephatha and Maresa. And Asa cried unto the Lord. This is the part I want to get. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. Here we see, all of Asa's success was because he depended on the Lord. The scripture says that in spite of the king's army, he cried unto the Lord his God, saying, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God. He depended on the Lord. As much knowledge, and you see, as much preparation that we make, as much reading as we do, at times we err in not depending on God, and we come here and read the wrong scripture, or got the wrong papers in front of us. I remember one time I was traveling from Harare to Mimberi, and when I get halfway, I forget my notes. As I went to preach, my glass, half the handle, just came off. The handle of the glass. I was up there like this. You know how that look, with one part. And as soon as I finish preach, soon as I finish and say amen, the other half break off. Now, who did that? Who did that? Me? Okay. Dependence on God. One half. So we've seen 2 points, brethren. Let's move to our third point. And I hope that you remember, I probably give her the distinguished marks. I probably give a recap. He renounced idolatry. He reestablished the law. And what was the third one, brethren? There you go. Okay. But I come to the third main head, his tragic downfall. His tragic downfall. And this is also important, his tragic downfall. In 2 Chronicles 16, 2 Chronicles 16, we come to that. I told you we'd be looking at this verse. Verses 1 and 2, we read, In the sixth and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. You understand? He formed a barricade around the walls. This man built up his walls, but the enemy came and they stood outside, just like Joshua and his army, the walls. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasuries of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt in Damascus. Here he calls a heathen king to help him. He didn't call on God this time. He called on the heathen. You know what? Sometimes in our lives, when we are in crisis, when we are looking to get married, when we're doing things, instead of speaking to a spiritual leader, we go somewhere else. We're told that he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Now, this is a quote that I have here that you would have to tell me where in the world you get this quote from. It is here. But this is the man of God that came out to Asa in somewhere in this passage. Chapter 15, verse 2. It should be that. It should be that, really. But let's move on. But what I'm trying to say, it is all well and good to have the distinguished marks of consecration. But it doesn't mean that consecration and reformation would last. It would not last. Faithfulness is dependent on obedience. Experience in the Christian life does not mean liberty to do anything, as this one here we see. People say, "Oh, I was a Christian many years. Long time, 40 years. You can't tell me anything. I know the Bible." King Asa responded well to the word of God in chapter 15 that Rickford just corrected me with when the prophet corrected him. But in chapter 16, when I get ahead of myself, during the last 5 years of his tenure, he aligned himself with the Syrian king. Verses 3 and 4 of chapter 16. He said this, "There is a league between me and you, as there was between my father and your father. For your father was ungodly. Behold, I have sent you silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, separate from the king of Israel that is tormenting me, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, the 10 tribes to the north. I don't want to confuse you. And they smote Ijon and Dan and Abelamim and all the store cities of Naphtali. Let me explain this to you. Asa, the good king, gave Ben-Hadad, the wicked king, the enemy, a bribe, a payoff to help him. That's what happened. That's the deal, okay? The ever-faithful God sent his servant, verses 7 through 9, in the text. At that time, after he did that, after he aligned himself with his king, God, faithful God, sent a servant, faithful servant. At that time, Hanani, the seer, the prophet, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the army of the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. He should have held them captive. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you did rely on the Lord, he's pointing them back to when he depended on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein, you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you will have wars. Brethren, believers ought to be warned of their allegiance. Many in the church seem to be doing well until they meet their pre-Madonna or their Prince John. It could be something else that you cherish. Consecration is only as sustainable as our obedience to the scriptures. I can fall in a minute, so is you. King Asa lashed out at the man of God. You see, he got too big for his shoes. Not only did he ill-treat the man of God, he oppressed his own people. Look at verse 10, chapter 16, with me. It says, then Asa was wroth with the prophet or the seer and put him in prison. For he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. Not only did he lash out at the prophet, he lashed out at his own people. And this has happened here. I have seen it here in this church. Anybody who is in alignment with that which is right, we lash out against them. And some of you did that. Some of you up to this day still slight certain people in this church. And you come to this communion table. The things I hear, I don't say much. But the attitudes I hear is unchristian. Very much so. I have a whole congregation to minister to. Not one or two people. But the Lord had his way. He quieted Asa's behavior. For we read finally in verse 12, and Asa in the 39th year of his reign was diseased in his feet. God will have the final say. Until his disease was exceeding great, yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. God will have his way. And sometimes it is best to leave people to God and just sit back and don't retaliate.
lashed out at the man that met good.
The prophet didn't say nothing to you. The prophet just went in jail, in prison. But God will defend his servants all the time. In spite of this, we cannot take away the fact that King Asa was a godly king. God corrected him in his latter day. Brethren, I say this to remind us that as good as people, men or women are, they will falter. We have a Savior who never falters or never fails us. We have a Savior. We conclude by asking, if you have the marks of a consecrated life, we saw many in the life of this good king. Some people can't even consecrate themselves to the Lord's day. Hey, Christian, the question is, do you have a consecrated life? We saw many in the life of a good king. Are you denouncing the idolatry in your life? The high places that you have erected, the untouchables, the sacred cows. Brother, I know you like to go to the gym, but I hope you don't go there Sunday morning and get a workout. Or I hope you don't go to the gym in neglect of your Bible. And that goes to any one of us. I would be a hypocrite if I say these things and my wife never see me in my Bible. Or praying. I have a critic. Are you denouncing idolatry in your life? Have you been reestablishing the word that is preached? Or does that big HD television set carries the day for you? That's what the world wants Christians to do on the Lord's day. Do you do that? It's a serious business. Our church is never going to go anywhere with people whose lives are not consecrated. Never go anywhere. I'll be spinning my wheels all the time in this place. Don't plan to. Have you been reinforcing the things you have learned in the scriptures? Or are you one of those Christians who give way to worldly family members, worldly people? Do you give way to them? It is time you said no. Today is my day for the Lord. Guy wanted to come to me to point the bricks on the step today. I asked if he mad. Which is, you choose another day. You go along with you Islam things on Friday and Saturday. Leave me alone on Sunday. They always try to do that. And the Jews too. People of the world will entice us very cleverly to serve their gods and to erect high places. What do you say to them? What do you say to them? I don't know. I'm not telling you to be rude. I'm not telling anybody to be rude. You shouldn't be. Are you and I reinforcing those boundaries? But a Godfrey, you should take note of this. What I'm saying, what I'm teaching. Or are you easily enticed by friends? Do you neglect the old paths? Jeremiah said, don't forget them. But Asa is not our model. He retaliated when he was reprimanded, like so many of us. And in some way seek to retaliate when we are reprimanded and hold it in for weeks, for months, for years. Then come to the table. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. I'm not talking to you, Brother God. You like that verse, but I'm talking about you. You know,
It's hypocritical. It makes me weak. We have long been playing games at City View Baptist Church. Let's reinforce the boundaries, the scriptures in our lives, in our church. Help me, brethren. And sometimes you go along with them. They're helping me. Don't retaliate. Take a tip from Hezekiah when Isaiah went to him. What did these men did in your house? What did they come for? Oh, I showed them everything. Yeah? Well, let me tell you something. You see your house? Nothing will be left. Everything will be taken away to Babylon. Hezekiah, good is the word of the Lord. Today we have a model, consecration. We're told in that Hebrews text, therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Esau is one. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Asa followed in the steps of David, but David was not a perfect man. David fell into the same trap. But we have a higher example. If you and I follow men, we will end up like men. We will behave like men. But if our pattern is the Lord, we will be ever striving. Wouldn't be perfect, but we will be ever striving to be more like him. We have a full-time job. He is ever faithful. He is ever true. We keep looking to him. The reason why God unveils the bad in the lives of this good man is to show us that we must watch out for that evil within us, that we must ever seek to draw near to our Lord, that we make no provision for the flesh, as some of you do, to fulfill the lust thereof, so that our lives will show the distinguished marks of consecration. We must be willing to bear the pains of consecration. But I don't know, brethren, I can only preach my heart out. Hopefully, I will determine to be a better man and a better example. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we have a model. We pray you will help us. Whether men are watching us or not, God is ever watching and seeing. May we seek to be more like him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.